do wonder, do you care what our name is moving forward?
Honestly, I don't. The Red Tails, I think, was a cool one that I saw several months ago, and I was like, oh, that would be really, really cool. But I'm with you that it feels like there's a giveaway with the Admirals and what we're seeing on social media. What would you like? Is there a name you prefer?
I want just something that evokes Washington, and I was really glad that they went out of their way to say it's not Red Wolves, because I don't know if that animal exists, and if it does, it's not indigenous to here. So I'm like, that made no sense to me. So I just want something that says power, tradition, nostalgia, glory, and I think that's why I think it's a nod to the military, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It feels like that would be appropriate. I wouldn't think you would go Washington Senators. We saw that disaster in the USFL. So
no,
I think that would fit really well because Washington Nationals is already taken.
Yeah, and well, here's the other one too. I think was the giveaway today. So they showed like clips of the jerseys and they had stars on them. Washington D.C.'s flag has three stars on it, so they could be interpreted as a nod to that. But there are also ranks that wear stars on their uniforms. It's not going to be the Generals. That's the worst basketball team ever in creation, as the losers to the Globetrotters. Therefore, who wears stars on their jersey, on their uniforms? Admirals do, and so that's what I think the giveaway was today, personally.
I think you nailed it, and I'm surprised that the odds don't dictate that and show it. Yeah. So
free money. All right, cool. If I was allowed to bet on it, I might, but I'm not allowed to.
We're 3 weeks away, but it feels like that somebody's going to leak it. There's something else that's going to be out there, I think, before it really comes out on February 2nd.
Well, let me see. But you listen, we're a main rival of your team. Did it bother you that we're not called Redskins anymore? Did that change anything in your mind,
Ram,
about the rivalry to you?
Since I heard the case about the, how American Indians and how people and the groundswell of many, many tribes did not want to be called that anymore. Honestly, I remember 2014 on SportsCenter, I was like, I'm just going to call them Washington from here on out. And, in the beginning it was tough. Now it's really weird to use the VR mascot name. So for me, 2014 specifically, I remember doing a show and I was like, from here on out, I'm going to make sure that I just say Washington, because I respect to me how it's depicted and how it was felt by American Indians. To me, it was just like, I don't need to use that name. So let's just go with the standard team. And then we've seen the last 2 years. I found it always funny. There were many moments, and I know who I'm talking to in the base that I'm talking to. There are many moments, though, when you kept on seeing WFT and your brain would automatically go to the other combination of those letters. So every time I saw that, it was very weird. I was like, what am I looking at here? So I do like, though, the combo of the colors and the numbers in the uniforms. I think you should stick with that. To me, that still looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, the colors are going nowhere. I mean, that was the one thing everyone agreed on, is that they have the right colors and they're going to keep that. So that's coming back. And it looks like they're going to go with, I don't know, the colors look like they're going to be altered just a little bit, but they're sticking with what appears to be tradition. All right, so we'll see where it is. All right, let's talk about your team a little bit here. Okay, let me just start with Jalen Hurts, I'll be the first to admit he's performing better than I thought he would. But they've also kind of settled into, I want to give your coach here some credit. Like, I think they've settled into doing what gives them the best chance of success, which is essentially a zone read option offense. So where are you on how they got to this point? Because they were barely running the ball early in the season. Now they're exclusively running the ball at the end of the season, and they're a playoff team. So what do you make of his first year?
First off, the schedule was really, really tough out the gate, the first six games. And when you have a quarterback who doesn't even have a full season under his belt, trying to figure out stuff, new offense, they gave a lot of responsibility to Jalen Hurts in the beginning, which I thought was pretty unfair. I felt like 90% of the offense was going through him, whether it was a pass or a run. And I was like, they're not putting him in a position to succeed early on in somebody's career. The strength of the team, the way the team has always been built with Howie Roseman's philosophy, has been front line defense, offense, I invest the money there. Everything else, I'll throw some money around at the quarterback of position, as we saw the contract of Carson Wentz. So I didn't understand the concept in the beginning of the season when they're 2-5 and they have Jalen Hurts throwing the ball 30-plus times. I couldn't comprehend it, especially when you have Miles Sanders in the backfield. And why is Jordan Howard on the practice squad? And where was Boston Scott, who had a really, really good run the last 2 years? So to me, I didn't understand why he wasn't using, you know, the ingredients in the kitchen to make something much better than what we were eating early in the season. And I've said this in the last 9 weeks. Sirianni realized what he had and decided, all right, I'm going to change things up. Let's go to the strength, and that is the Lane Johnsons of the world, the Jason Kelseys of the world, the Jordan Mulattas of the world, Landon Dickerson, a second-round pick out of Alabama, who moved from center because Kelsey's not going anywhere, to guard. I thought that was the strength, and that's where things turned around for this team. Now, I had 6-9 win expectation coming into the season. They've exceeded everything. And I also am fully aware who we have played in the last 6 to 7 weeks when it comes to quarterbacks on the other side. No disrespect, as I say something disrespectful about the quarterback that you guys have. But, like, also the Giants and who they had with Glennon and Fromm. I mean, we should have won the first Giants matchup. Trevor Siemian. The last quarterback that we played that you could feel is in the top 15 was on November 7th, and that was Justin Herbert, the Chargers. So I'm not going to fault the Eagles for beating whoever's on the schedule, but I'm fully aware of who this team is. And I haven't played a decent quarterback, a quarterback in the top 10, in 2 months. So I'm curious. It looks like they're going to head into facing the Bucs in round one. And now you're facing the greatest quarterback of all time. So you hold your breath here. But I just like the development. All I wanted to see was progress and Jalen Hurts handle adversity and grow. I didn't expect this team to make the playoffs. I just wanted to see growth at the end of the season so we could draw a conclusion. Is he going to be our quarterback in 2022?
You guys are going to run into the same thing we ran into last year, because Washington went 7-9, had a gaudy rating on defense. And if you go look at the schedule and who they played, again, I'm sorry, these are just the teams that were on the schedule. They beat them, which was Dallas without Dak Prescott and San Francisco without their quarterbacks. And, you know, so they won games that, and Nate Sudfeld coming in for Philadelphia in the final week of the season, all that stuff was happening. You're going to run into the same thing here, because here are the teams you lost to: San Francisco, Dallas, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Vegas, or the Chargers. They're all the playoff teams.
Yeah.
As it stands, every single win you have is against a team that will not be in the playoffs, with the exception of maybe New Orleans, who might slip in as a 7 seed and everyone knows is going nowhere with Trevor Siemian as their quarterback. So you be ready for the nobody believes in what you did, even though you were a playoff team.
Oh, I'm ready for that. I'm actually the one saying, so let's slow down. I'm the one that's getting hit up by NFL analysts, former players, saying, oh, the Eagles look like a tough out in the first round because they do something that many teams can't do, and that is run the football. And I'm like, slow down. Slow down. I understand our strength, but, like, I know who we are, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But I will also say this. The toughest game the Bucs played in the playoffs last year was against your team because of the Washington defensive front. They were fantastic. The one thing the Eagles' strength, and I mentioned the offensive line, that Eagles defensive front with Sweat and Cox and Hargrave and sometimes Barnett is pretty decent. Now,
they
do not have any linebackers. And you can make a case that Darius Slay's been, he should be in the defensive player of the year conversation, top five, right? He's been fantastic on one side. So and when you look at what the Bucs can do on the other side, they don't have a lot of the weapons that we've seen in previous runs. Like last year, or I should say previous months, considering how beat up they've been the last few weeks, I think it would be entertaining. But in the end, it's Tom Brady making decisions. And I trust Tom Brady in the pocket more than any other quarterback on the planet.
Oh, I mean, if Miles Sanders isn't going to play because of a broken hand, and Jalen Hurts is, and I saw this in real time, marginalized with hurt ankles, he's not the trigger man he was, and he's not going to run as often as he did. You guys, Tampa Bay doesn't get run on anyway, so, like, good luck scoring points against them in the play. Like, good luck in that. So, like, anyway, but let me get back to Hurts with you. All right, so as we sit here, this is an odd conundrum that you're in, because you are in the playoffs. They did come around. Hurts does look very capable of running a very specific type of offense. One, do you think that's sustainable? And two, do you think they think it's sustainable and are not going to be looking for a quarterback in the offseason?
I think they will always look for a quarterback, especially when you have the ammunition of 3 first-round picks. Now, I also know the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, absolutely loves Jalen Hurts. I also believe that Jalen Hurts is the type of quarterback that he will try everything he can to be better week in and week out, and with, you know, 15 games under his belt, 16 games and a playoff game under his belt, I think you're going to see some progress in the offseason. I'm not sure if we're going to make the jump there where many believe he could be a franchise quarterback, because he still has to make that 20-yard pass more accurately. But I also know he's going to bust his butt. Here's the conundrum, right? It's not a quarterback-rich first round. You're taking a gamble. So does Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, trade one of those draft picks and try to get another one for 2023 so you get 2 number ones in 2023, 2 number ones in 2022, or package the 3 picks and go after, because they love Russell Wilson. Do they try to make a big move with a big quarterback name and a big splash here, and you throw Jalen Hurts in as part of the trade? I could see the Eagles being very aggressive. The Deshaun Watson conversations and rumors, the Eagles were in those conversations along with the Dolphins. They want to kick the tires and see if Deshaun Watson wants to come to Philly. I'm not sure he wants to. I think Deshaun wants to go to Miami. So I'm fascinated to see how this plays out with what the owner wants in the end, and then how does the front office handle that, and can anybody convince the owner, hey, we need to move off of Jalen Hurts because we feel like we're getting Russell Wilson in a package deal, or Deshaun Watson, and here's where he has to face a suspension. I'm curious about how that'll play out. I can tell you my perspective would be this. If you can get the chance to get Russell Wilson, go after him. If you have the opportunity, though, to upgrade this team defensively in a couple of major holes with 3 first-round picks, make sure you do that. But I don't think the Eagles' philosophy has ever been about using 3 first-round picks. Howie likes to trade on draft day.
Yeah. Are you rooting for Wentz when they're in the playoffs, or are you rooting against Wentz when they're in the playoffs? What do you feel about that?
That's a really interesting question. I don't have anything personal against Carson Wentz. So it's not like, you know, I'm ambivalent to the situation. Like, I'm just curious. All I want to see when I see Carson Wentz is, okay, will we see growth from Carson Wentz? And I think you're going to get Carson Wentz at his best is 2019 Carson Wentz. It's not 2017 Carson Wentz. 2017 Carson Wentz, I think, is done. 2019 Carson Wentz can make some plays. He also, it's a roller coaster ride, man. He'll make some plays where you're like, what are you doing? And I think Frank Reich is fully aware of that. Hey, Carson, don't try to play hero ball. We've already got a good defense, a great running back. Let's just be smart and protect the football. And Carson can sometimes make some decisions where you're just like, why? What are you seeing there? And sometimes he's forcing the ball. To me, I'd be more curious than anything else.
Okay. 2 quick topics, then I'll let you go. 1 Philly thing. How does the Ben Simmons thing play out in your mind?
Oh, boy. Daryl Morey will not blink. Let me tell you, Daryl Morey.
He shouldn't.
I completely agree. Daryl Morey's not going to blink, and this could go all the way down to the deadline in early February. And I'm all for that. Get what you can, but make sure you get the best offer. And there's clearly he's not getting the best offer right now. The other side of this, Bram, is for a guy that, you know, is, and we don't know the extent, but is going through some things mentally on the idea of returning to Philadelphia. How does that carry over for a team that's acquiring him? So I would have questions by saying, wait a second, when can you play? Because if I acquire you, what was going on in Philadelphia? Is this a Philadelphia thing? And I think many people in Philadelphia will say, yeah, it's a Philadelphia thing. He doesn't want to face that crowd. All of a sudden now you're ready to mentally get on the basketball court, and then what do you look condition-wise? I'm curious about that. I think Darryl will hold his cards and wait to see if somebody blinks and panics in February to try to make a move.
Well, I'm with all of the people who ask, what is he so mad about? I've never understood. Why does he not want to play there on a really good team with a chance to win? Because people, weren't particularly nice to him after he was failed in the playoffs? Like, what exactly is his problem? Like, I don't know what it is.
You have a player who throughout his life has been surrounded by people, and you can point to coaches and you can point to staff and organizations that have anything you want, Ben, this is great. We've never challenged Ben on, hey, listen, we think you need to work on some shooting. And I know for a fact the Sixers have said that to him, but they didn't really enforce it. Brett Brown didn't enforce it. You know, they gave him a shooting coach one off season, and he came back and he was like, yeah, I got rid of him. I'm doing it my own way through my family. And the Sixers allowed it. And I think the same thing when you're at LSU, where he's allowed to do whatever he wants. So the moment at this age where he's got the big contract already, and then he hears any type of criticism externally and internally, complete shutdown. And you can't blame me. I didn't do anything. Never looking in the mirror that I need to correct some things. And Philadelphia can be harsh, but that's not the story. Philadelphia did not force Ben Simmons out. Philadelphia is just going to be real with you. And I don't think Ben Simmons can handle the criticism that he had to work on things. If you look at Joel Embiid said, I've got some shortcomings. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get better. Ben Simmons never cared to do that. He'd show some workout video and, you know, dunking on somebody who's 5'10", 5'11". Where are you getting better? And I don't think we've ever seen that with Ben Simmons when it comes to his mid-range jumper. He just never got better. When you look at how he shoots right now, it's unnatural. I think he's shooting with the wrong hand. And he's been told that so many times, and he refuses to accept it.
I mean, how does he not see what happened in the playoffs and not think maybe that's a little on me? That, like, shooting 30% from the free throw line just kind of isn't going to cut it. And actually looking as if you're scared to shoot at times in the fourth quarter is not going to cut it. Like, how could he not have any self-reflection and not see that?
Well, because when you surround yourself and you put yourself in a bubble and you don't hear criticism and you avoid being called out at all times, this is what happens. And then you're still rewarded, right? Because you get the max deal already. And the organization catered to him in so many ways, him and Joel. And you're never called out. And when you are called out, you take offense to it. But your coach calls you out because you didn't dunk the ball right there in that situation where they needed it in that moment. The game changes completely because you're afraid to go to the free throw line because you've never worked on your free throws in the off season. When I say never, I mean fully commit to get better day in and day out on free throws. This is how it plays out, man.
Oh. All right, I'll let you go after this. 30 seconds on the college football championship. What do you see, Alabama and Georgia?
I just don't understand. I was stunned the night of, you know, the Orange Bowl, we're in Miami and the lines come out by Vegas and Georgia's favored again. I just don't understand that considering what we saw in the SEC title game, because Georgia's defense is fantastic and they deserve to be called out because their game plan against Alabama was completely exposed. You know, you have a fantastic team that can stop the front. When it comes to the running game, Alabama said, okay, we're not going to run. We're just going to make sure our quarterback, who's a Heisman player, is going to roll out and we've got the best wide receiver on the field. I want to see Georgia make that adjustment. It comes down to your best players on the field. Alabama has the two best players, and Will Anderson on the defensive side and Bryce Young on the offensive side. Can Stetson Bennett – I'm not asking Stetson Bennett to match up with, you know, against that Bama defense and throw touchdown to touchdown against Young. Can Stetson Bennett maintain his composure – and make the big throw? He's going to need to make three or four big throws against this Bama defense. I've learned my lesson in the SEC championship game. I will never, ever, ever count out Nick Saban when he's an underdog. And I still can't understand why the Tide are coming into this game as an underdog as of right now.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.